10 o'clock, the dot. Can we just check Ms. Madia, who's present?
From the member side, Chair, it's yourself, Mr. Moimang, and Mrs. Shodi. We're still trying to get a hold of our other members, Mr. Lansman, Mr. Lant, and Mrs. Boshoff, Mrs. Matabula, sorry. I know she was trying to connect to the internet, so we're just trying to connect her. But so far, we've only got three members, Chair, and the Deputy Minister has also just logged on.
Okay, I don't know, there was a bit of an echo. I don't know whether it's from my own connection, but I'll have to change the...
Okay, can you hear me now?
I heard you breaking. I don't know whether it's from me or
okay,
from your
side. Can you hear me now, Chair?
No, I can hear you now loud and clear.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, thanks. Now, I was saying that from the member's side, it's yourself, Mrs. Mashodi. Mr. Lansman, we're struggling to get a hold of. Mr. Lant, we also can't seem to get a hold of. And I know Mrs. Matabula was struggling to connect with the internet, so she's busy with IT, trying to resolve that. But so far, we've got about three members, including yourself, Chair.
Okay. No, then we should start. At least we're not going to be voting. So we don't really need a quorum. I hope you can hear me. I'm going to try if this one is a problem, try to spot if the network problem from my side.
No, we can hear you, Chair. We can hear you loud.
Let me formally... Oh, you can hear me. Okay. Let me formally open the meeting and welcome everybody on our first meeting for the year. Welcome, the officials from the department, DDGs, CFO, and other senior managers from IT, as well as the members of the media and public. I think last year was very, very difficult, I think, for all of us. Myself, at the last meeting I attended last year, I think it was on the 10th of October. And then I tested positive for the coronavirus. I've been sick since that time. Even now, I'm not 100% fully recovered. Yesterday, I had to meet a cardiologist because I ended up having a high blood pressure and a problem with kidneys. Next Thursday, I will be admitted just to check whether there are no blockages around my heart. So those are the implications of this COVID-19. But we thank God that I'm still alive. I'm lucky because others could not make it. There are a lot of people that have passed on or passed away. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's close now to 45,000 number of people that passed away, more than a million that have been infected. Parliament has also not been spared. There are a lot of members who passed away. Yesterday morning, we informed that one of the members of Parliament was in the Committee of Trade and Industry and Competition. Honorable Toza Mamadashe passed away on the evening of the 31st. There are also a number of other MPs that passed away. The Honorable Nombulelo Emas from Employment and Labour, other members, Honourable Sabalala, Honourable Jackson Tembu, Honourable Professor Bozoli, so other members that I may not remember, there are a lot of members, but also a lot of staff members that have also passed away during this period. We were also informed early last month that Honourable Deputy Minister's brother and his wife both passed away early in January. We would like to send our condolences to all the families of those who passed away, and also to the Deputy Minister. We also send our heartfelt condolences to you. I think let's take this opportunity just to have a moment of silence, honorable members, for those who passed away. Thank you very much. We have received the honourable members the apology from the minister, Minister Ibrahim Patel, and Minister Majola, or Deputy Minister Majola. The president, we were informed that the president will be visiting the Bane Special Economic Zone. So the minister and the deputy minister are forming part of the delegation together with the Premier of Deng and the Minister of Economic Development from Gauteng, and the Mayor of Tshwane will all be forming a delegation that will be accompanying the president to visit and in the conduct of site, if I may put it that way, in the Tshwane metro on a special economic zone. Deputy Minister Gina will be leading the delegation, but also unfortunately she will have to leave around 10:45 to another meeting. But I will allow her to make opening remarks and then hand over to the officials to lead the presentation on the annual report. Just before I forget, there's also a report apology also from the DG, Mr. Lionel October, who was also part of the visit by the president and the minister to the special economic zone of Tshwane. We also, from the members, we also have apologies, as Ms. Madia was explaining that Mr. Tim Process will be joining us later. He's attending another meeting. We have apology in Honourable Dango, he has indicated that his son contracted the virus, so he is isolating. So he informed that Honourable Boshoff has an appointment today with the doctor. Yeah, so those are the apologies, and I think the other two members, Honourable Lansman and Honourable Launch, we hope that they will be able to join us at a later stage. I understand that Honourable Matebola has some connection issues. We hope that those will also be sorted out soon so that they are able to join the meeting. Thank you very much. Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, over to you if you can also introduce your delegation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the committee members. Good morning to the support officials of the committee and all the officials from DTIC. Chairperson, ngemvume yakho and the committee, when I switch off my camera, the connectivity is not good where I am, but I think if I switch off the camera, it will keep me going and moving on. But
yes, I was worried. I thought it was the problem on my side, because I usually have these connection problems.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shane.
Okay. So members should also indicate if I have a connection problem, so that sometimes I will assume that it's from my side. So if there's someone is talking and not necessarily to me to intervene, because I may think that the problem is from my side. You can continue, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Okay, thank you, Chair. It will be best if you do intervene so that one can know if ever we're no more audible to the meeting. Thank you so much, Chair. Chairperson, maybe before I introduce the committee, the delegation that I'm with, let us thank God for your life. We did hear of your condition last year. We were with you in our prayers, and even all the members that you mentioned, our hearts are with them, are with their families, more especially Honorable Mandashe, the one who was serving on our own committee. As the department, we are really with the family. We are passing our condolences to you, members of parliament, to you, members of the committee, and the family also. Chairperson, I do have the delegation with me led by Dr. Pule. Dr. Pule will introduce the whole delegation in the absence. And as you have said, let us apologize, and let me apologize again for the minister and the deputy minister. As you have said, with the president, they are they're assessing the progress of that SCZ, more especially the partnership with Ford. Remember, Ford has even pledged and committed to the president on the investment conference. So that is the assessing of the progress on what they are doing there as the anchor investor in that SCZ. So it's one of the very important occasions that are taking place. So really we have to apologize for the minister. Same thing as you have said with myself. At 11, I have to attend the Council of Ministers in AU, where we are assessing the progress of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, as we are all excited of that. So it's other meeting that we cannot miss. So that is why I'm here. But at 10:45, I'll really plead to be excused from the select committee. But otherwise, Chairperson, we want to thank the select committee for the work and the continued work that happened last year when it comes to the oversight responsibilities. We saw the committee working against the challenging environment that were posed by COVID-19. Now, as we start the meeting, Chairperson, the number of apologies, we know, we fully understand there are so much challenges that COVID-19 is still posing to us, but we are saying we are thankful to our select committee that amidst those challenges, we still keep pushing, you still keep putting us on our toes with your oversight work. And we know as the department that now and again, we must come and account to you, and that we are thankful about. And we know very well that this pandemic has directed us towards an approach. When we look at the economic development, localization of manufacturing within the context of reimagining industrialization in our country. So in one way or the other, it has put us on our toes again as to see what is it that we can do even more as the department to make sure that when we talk of economic recovery, when we talk of economic growth, the new ways that we can look at, and with the assistance of you committee members, that is the journey that we are taking. As one of the excitement that you are looking at amidst all the challenges, the realization of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, again, is posing a very huge challenge to us and also opening up so many opportunities to us as South Africa, is to say, what is it that we can contribute to the growth of the whole continent when it comes to economy and opening up more opportunities for us to take part in this agreement. And it's one thing, again, that as we start the year with you, with your assistance, we are going to be looking forward to. Coming here with this delegation today, after we have mentioned the two departments, of which I'm very thankful to the officials who diligently worked tirelessly during the time last year to make sure that there is a seamless merging of the two departments in consultation with unions, because we know very much well that most of the time the tensions always arise as to say, where do we place people and so forth. But the way it was managed, Chair and the committee members, we are so thankful even to the officials. They worked tirelessly and everything went, our merger went on very well. I'm not sure again, Comrade Chair, my screen just went white, whether I'm still audible. Chairperson?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, you can continue with you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Chair, as I'm saying, we are here today as one department that is DTIC. We know the work that we are here to report on started when the departments were still two separate departments, but today, after it has been merged, we know very well that most of this work has been completed. We are still wise, we're now one department, but I am going to highlight some of the issues that we worked on whilst it was still Department of Trade and Industry and also Department of Economic Development, budgeting up with one report today. There are things that we are happy about, the successes that we have managed to have. I will start with DTI, that is Department of Trade and Industry, where we look at various master plans, Chairperson. We had an automotive master plan that was completed last year, and the implementation of the elements of this master plan was agreed to in a tripart agreement between government, automotive sector, and the trade unions. Already there was a significant production level out from January to December 2019, earning the sector an increased foreign export to South Africa. Secondly, on the poultry master plan again, of which is one of our success, we also have a success on sugar master plan, which was that was seen towards the end of 2020. The work began within this financial year, and we are happy to report to the select committee that it has been finalized. On the retail clothing, textile, footwear, and leather, the master plan again is out and it has been agreed. And with the agreement in that master plan, we are very much happy, and it is a success to us where all the stakeholders have agreed on the reorientation from the imports to locally manufactured products. We are at the supply of around 67 billion rands worth of retail. And for us, when you look at that value chain and the growth of that local value chain, and it says more job opportunity open. We're still working on the steel master plan and the furniture master plan, and it has started during this financial year that you are reporting on, and hopefully we are going to be finalizing that one. And again, when we look at the angle of trade and industry, DTI, we are also happy to report on the progress that we see when it comes to special economic zones. As today we are witnessing that partnership at Swane. Look at the SCZ Dube Trade Port, the expansion that is there, the intervention that the department is having when it comes to that expansion. But moreover, we want also to report on the interventions that we have when it comes to other SCZ that has been designated in other provinces. Because we do have these SCZ that have been designated, but we don't see much of a take off but the department is intervening, like Free State. We're working on the Northwest, we're working for, we're looking at the SZ in the Northern Cape, where it's very much promising with a lot of investors in the pipeline. Also, the issue of the revitalization of the industrial parks, we are working on that. But what is exciting, which the officials will be reporting on, Deputy Chairperson, is the whole issue of the introduction of the digital hubs with the purpose of enabling the innovation, especially for the young-owned tech companies, because that is the field where we are encouraging our youth to play and to take part in the innovation business ideas. It's one other area which we are excited to say, yes, we are working on as trade and industry. When it comes to development, again, we have strengthened the IDC focus on jobs, green energy, and black industrialization. We have introduced the price preference system on expert scrap that assisted development of steel mini mills and foundries. So much work that is taking place, piloted the two pieces of legislation through Parliament. Right now, we are working on the initiated social and solidarity economic policy framework, of which very soon will be coming to you to share that with you and get the guidance moving forward. But I was just highlighting some of the successes and the things that the department has worked on. But Chairperson, what you are proud of as the department through our success and the work that you are still busy, it's our continuous achievement of the clean audit. We are priding ourselves, and we always engage our officials as to say that's one thing that we need to do to make sure that whatever we do, but we also maintain the clean audit record that these things were known of. And now coming to one department, it's one work that we want to focus on. So our senior officials will give the substantial details then Honorable Chairperson on the overall work that you are doing. And I wish on my conclusion that even this year of 2021, we wish the Select Committee healthy deliberations, and we wish to have the healthy relationship that we had with you throughout the years and move towards this financial year, and committing ourselves as the Department of DTIC to work hand in hand with you in making sure that we bring the lives of our people to the better situation and to uplift the economy of our country. Thank you very much. I will hand over then to Tobe to introduce the delegation that he is leading, because as I leave the meeting, Dr. Pule will be in charge to lead the delegation that is here to engage with you, Chairperson. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable DM, for the opening remarks and the highlights on the key performance areas that you highlighted. Over to you, Dr. Pule. I give you 1 hour. So the time now is almost 25 past 10. So by 25 past 11, we should be done with the presentation, as we allow members to ask questions and then and responses thereafter. Thank you very much, DM. Over to you, Dr.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Chairperson, I'll be leading the delegation this morning, and Dr. Pule and the very executive team from the DTIC will support me.
I was so surprised. I don't know Dr. Pule. Now I see your face. No, I know it's Dr. Pule. you can put this. I thought you changed your standing.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Chair, whilst Sulu is putting the presentation on the screen, I will quickly miss the delegation. Chair, this morning, we have Mr. Stephen Hannibal, who is the chief economist. We have got Dr. Pule, who is the acting deputy director general for competition policy. We've got Ms. Malebo Mabicha-Thompson, who is the deputy director general for industrial finance. We also joined by Ms. Sarah Chwane, who is the DDG for corporate services. Mr. Sipode, who is the deputy director general for special economic zones and economic transformation. Dr. Evelyn Masocha, who is the DDG for Corporate and Consumer Regulations, Mr. Yunus Hussain, the Acting Head for Investment and Invest SA, Ms. Nontombi Matomela, who is the Acting COO, Ms. Liesel Reiniker, who is the Chief Director for Trade Policy Negotiation and Cooperation, Mr. Willem van der Spy, who is the Chief Director for Export Development, Promotion and Outward Investment, Ms. Wongiwe Maswanhise, Chief Director of the Director General, Ms. Tinika Jamesma, who is the Chief Director in the Special Economic Zone and Industrial Parks Unit, Ms. Mporo Matla, who is the Chief Director of Finance, and lastly, Dr. Annelies, who is the Chief Director for Industrial Competitiveness and Growth. Chair, if I can go straight into the presentation, and thanks to the Deputy Minister for the introduction, and Chair, the presentation will lead on from those introductory remarks. Chair, as you see, the report will cover two parts, which is the DTI annual report and the Economic Development Annual Report. Chair, as we've said in many forums, this is the last of the reports which will cover the two departments. As you and the members are aware, we already are fully fledged and integrated into the new Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. Chair, as you're aware, there were a number of delays in the finalization of the annual report. Normally, the annual report is tabled at the end of September. However, through the Minister of Finance, who have gazetted the amendments to the Public Finance Management Act, where departments were allowed to submit and finalize their statements 2 months later, so that pushed all the dates out. So, on the 1st of November, the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition tabled the annual report for both the former DTI and the former Economic Development. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, both the DTI and Economic Development received clean audits. The presentation will comprise both of the or provide highlights of both the normal information together with the financial information. If we move to the next slide. Chairperson and members, as you are aware, our work is around the strategic, or it's focused around the 5 strategic goals of the department, and the core of our work is around our industrial development. And our first strategic goal is around the facilitation of the transformation of the economy, promote industrial development, investment, competitiveness, and employment creation. Our second strategic goal focuses on our trade relations, both in Africa and the rest of the world. And here we're looking to build mutually beneficial regional and global relations to advance South African trade, industrial development, and economic development objectives. The third strategic goal focuses on broad-based economic participation. And here you'll see there's a number of programs aimed to do this, including the work of the BEE Commission. Our fourth goal is around the fair regulatory environment. And here there's a number of legislation that the department is busy with, which aims to promote a regulated environment in many of the industries. Lastly, the fifth strategic goal focuses on building a capable department. And here we're looking at an internal ethical, dynamic, and competitive workforce that helps to drive these strategic goals. Our work is divided into 8 months, the former DTI, and as you see going forward, there is 10 programs which form part of the DTIC. If we go into the next slide, some of the performance highlights from the annual report. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, the core of our work focused on the reimagining industrial strategy. We seek to deepen partnership to increase economic output in productive sectors. And the key part of this work focused on a number of master plans in the different sectors of the economy. The master plan which the department finalized in the 2020 financial year was the, we focused firstly on the implementation of the automotive master plan, and we concluded two additional master plans during that period. The two additional master plans were the clothing and textile master plan, which agreed to fundamentally reorientate from imports to locally produced goods, with domestic manufacturers expected to supply 67 billion rand worth of retail purchases annually over a period of time, and to grow employment to about 320,000 jobs and substantially increase investment. We've also seen that the master plan and had attracted a number of investments in this area, with 6.7 billion rand of investments in the clothing industry. The second master plan that was completed is the poultry master plan. Here, once again, also looking to deepen local level action and for greater levels of local production and also for the export market. The sugar master plan, that one also finalized, but it has been finalized after the period ended. If we move to the next slide. Here, the department also continued the work with the Special Economic Zones program. Here, there were two expansions that were approved in the financial year. The first one being the Dube Trade Port, and the second one was the OR Tambo to include the Shwane Automotive Special Economic Zone. A large part of the work also focused on the investment side, and here once again we successfully held the second investment conference in the 2019-20 year, and we got investment pledges and commitments to the value of 363 billion rand in that financial year. Since then, we held the third investment conference, which was hosted and led by the president. And once again, we have received investment pledges to the value of 109.6 billion rand. As indicated by the deputy minister as well, a large portion of our work also focused on the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And much of the work has now been complete, which enables the new trade negotiations and the new trade agreement on the continent to continue. At this stage, there are just a few minor things to agree with, for example, the tariff lines, including the rules of origin. Moving to the next slide, here we're looking at the actual achievements that forms part of the annual report on the international trade and economic development, which is the work around the trade area. You'd see that the team was quite busy on a number of fronts, looking at the tripartite free trade agreement together with the continental free trade area. The team also worked with a number of, had a number of meetings on the SADC EU economic partnership agreement. And there was also work in a number of global fora such as BRICS, the G20, AGOA, and the UK Brexit. Looking at the next program, which is the Special Economic Zones and Economic Transformation, here there were two special economic zones submitted to the Minister for Designation, which is the Dube expansion of the Dube Trade Port and the OR Tambo International SEZ. The team was also quite busy on the Industrial Parks Fund, and here once again the work has cut across a number of provinces, and the work largely focused on phase one and phase two of the Industrial Parks program. With regard to the BEEE front, there were two implementation reports submitted to the minister with regard to the implementation of the act and the regulation. And lastly, there were 67 interventions to support Black industrials in the IPEC sectors. And here it was largely focused at providing market access to a number of industrial to a number of the black industrialists. Looking at industrial development, there were four designations requests that were prepared for the minister, and this includes the plastic pipes and fitting products, bulk material and handling, ester oil, and instrument transformers. During the financial year, one IPEP report was prepared, and in June 2019, Cabinet approved the reimagined industrial strategy, which focused largely on the on a number of sector master plans. During the financial year, as I've indicated, the department finalized the clothing, textile, footwear, and leather master plan together with the poultry master plan. And there were a number of commitments that were made at the investment conference. Moving to the next slide. Looking at the consumer corporate regulations, the team was quite busy with the company's bill. And on this area, they concluded the consultations at NEDLAC, and the socio-economic impact assessment report was revised and certified by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. There were also four progress reports on the company's amendment bill that was developed and submitted to Minister for approval. And last year, there were 27 education and awareness workshops on policies and legislation conducted and reports produced for Minister's approval. On the incentive development and administration, here there were 32.2 billion rand worth of projects that were approved and leveraged from the application that were received and approved. 18,242 projected number of jobs were supported from the enterprises that were approved. 22,247 projected jobs were retained from the project that were approved. And in total, there were 510 enterprises that were approved and supported during this financial year. Looking at the trade investments of Africa, here there were 2.67 billion rand of exports that were generated through a number of interventions such as the EMEA program. And in total, 828 companies were financially assisted and through the EMEA program. With regard to investments in Africa, there were 222.8 billion rand worth of investments that were facilitated and which formed part of the investment pipeline. Looking at the performance highlights, and as we go into the financial information, you would see that a large portion of the work of the department looks in the area of industrial development. And here, once again, we're looking at the incentives that were approved to support investment in a number of sectors, in a number of sectors of the economy. Here, what we are showing is that our work has reached a large portion of, be it Western Cape or Northern Cape, our work has, we aim to ensure that the work and the number of, and those that receive financial support, it's spread across the country. On this slide, you can see the amount that were approved in each province, the projected investments that were supported, and the number of jobs that were created and retained. If we move on to the next slide, here once again we're showing the work that was done on the Special Economic Zone program. And since the 2016-17 financial year, the Special Economic Zones have received a total of 5.2 billion rand for regional industrial development, of which the two zones in the Eastern Cape have been the biggest benefactors, receiving 3.2 billion rand. As you would see here, one of the key fundamentals of this program is that once the SEZ has secured an investment, will they be entitled to receive financial support from the DTI? So once again here, we're demonstrating that the work that's been done across the country in the different provinces. In the 2019-20 financial year, claims worth 1.4 billion rand was paid out. Looking at the industrial parks revitalization program, once again, this program was designed to ensure that we provide adequate support in the form of infrastructure development and to a number of industrial parks across the country. And to date, 760 million has been approved for funding of phase one and phase two of the program. And here once again, you can see that that a large portion of the work has been done in many of the provinces, like Eastern Cape, where we supported Funindlela, Khumani, Dumbaza, but also in the Free State like Botshabelo, Phuthatswana, etc. Once again here, this program was quite important as these parks host a number of SMMEs and provide approximately 14,352 employment opportunities. And during the 2019-20 financial year, 393 construction-related jobs were created and 38 million rand was spent on SMMEs. If we move on to the next slide, a continuation of the industrial parks program looked at the digital hubs. And this was launched and implemented in the 2020-21 financial year. And here the goal is to nurture innovation and encourage technology development in an inclusive manner across the South African economy. And here, I'll be pleased to highlight that the Deputy Minister Gina launched the first digital hub at the Isitebe Industrial Park in KZN. There was also work done with UNIDO, in which an MOU was signed to address resource efficient and cleaner production in the industrial parks. If we move on to the next slide. Here, this slide is showing the number of jobs that were supported or created as a result of this program. And as you would see, since the launch of the program, 1,845 jobs were supported in the industrial parks. Moving on. Here we're looking at the financial performance. You would see that the total budget of DTI in the 2019-20 financial year was 10 billion rand. And of the 10 billion rand, 9.97 billion was spent. And just to indicate that a large portion of the 9.97 billion, 5.7 billion rand was dispersed to the beneficiaries across the various incentive programs, like the automotive program, the Black Industrialist program, agro processing. And also there was a program that there was a portion of the program that provided support with loans and working capital at the IDC. There was also 1.5 billion rand, which was used to support infrastructure in the special economic zones, as well as the industrial parks programs. Further, there was 1.32 billion rand that was transferred to a number of our public entities, and as well as transfers were made to a number of external programs. The biggest being the clothing and textile program at the IDC. There was also a number of transfers to external programs such as TIPS and CSIR. And lastly, the department spent roughly 1.7 billion rand on its operational costs. Moving on to the next slide. This slide provides a high-level overview of the budget and expenditure per program and per economic classification. And here, once again, you would see that the program six, which is the incentive development and administration, receive a bulk of the budget. And here, once again, these funds were utilized to support various companies in various sectors of the economy. Moving on to the next slide. As mentioned by the Deputy Minister as well, both the department and EDD received unqualified reports, so no findings, which are commonly known as clean audits. Here, what we are reporting is that a large number of the DTI and its entities received clean audits. In total, there were 12 of those entities. The ones that have not received clean audits were the South African Bureau of Standards and the South African National Accreditation System, which received unqualified audit opinions, but with findings. And the National Regulator for Compulsory Specification is the one that did receive a qualified audit opinion. And this is a legacy qualification which focused once again on the revenue from non-exchange transactions, which the NRCS levies to companies who import goods that are regulated in that space. There was also a number of non-compliances, for example, material misstatements in the financial statements, and also non-compliance with supply chain management regulations. Moving on to the next slide. Here, this is just on a tabular format. These are the entities that received clean audits, and those that received unqualified word findings, and the NRCS, as I've indicated, the NRCS has received a qualified audit opinion. Looking at the human resource performance, Chair, as you and aware, we've successfully completed the transition of both the DTI and EDD into the new department. That work has been largely been completed, put under the leadership of the Minister, Deputy Minister Gina, Deputy Minister Majola, as well as the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee. With regard to the turnover rate, the department recorded
I just spoke to the PLO now. There seems to be a problem with the connection, but they are reconnecting.
Are you back, Mr. Khan?
Hi, Chair. Apologies for that. If you don't mind, I'll put my camera off. Maybe that will also assist with the with the bed
connection.
Okay.
All right. Oh, that's right. You can do that.
Okay. If you move on to the next slide, which is the youth empowerment, and here there was a number of training interventions. Here, 69 interns were appointed in the 2019-20 financial year that went experiential training. Of the 69, 45 interns remained to complete the internship program. We also recruited and selected 54 new interns in the financial year. With regard to the leadership development program, 48 SMS employees completed the program, and the report was and the program was successfully completed, and a progress report was submitted. With regard to capacity development, there were 214 bursary holders, and this supported studies in both undergrad, including the honors programs, as well as the master's and doctorate qualifications. 85 new bursary applications were approved for the 2020 intake, and 43 employees already made use of opportunities by registering for their studies. With regard to grievances, for levels 1 to 12, 30 cases were handled within an average period of 86 days. 77% of these cases were resolved. With regard to SMS cases, 8 cases were handled within an average of 90 days, and 50% of these were resolved. With regard to disciplinary matters, there were 35 informal disciplinary matters. That were handled within an average of 34 days.
Jay?
Hello, Ms. Martin.
Yes, Chair. I just got a message from the PLO. The CFO's connection is bad. So Mr. Molefe Pule will be presenting next. So he's going to continue.
Oh, very good. Okay. Continue, Dr. Pule.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also,
you can continue, Dr. Pule.
Chair, I just fell off and I came back on. I'll switch off my video, Chair.
Oh, okay. You can continue.
Yeah. I don't see the presentation, Chair. I'm not sure if... Okay, thank you. I think Tulu is sharing.
Tulu is sharing it. Is sharing it. Okay.
No problem, Chair. Thank you very much. Chair, members of the Select Committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to present the annual report of the then Economic Development Department, Chair, on behalf of Minister, Deputy Ministers, and the DG, of course. The following sections will just refer to the key highlights in terms of the work that the Economic Development Department did under the financial year currently under review, Chairperson. For the economic development, by way of broad context, there were 16 key performance indicators that were approved in the annual performance plan for that year. Of those 16, Chairperson, there were 184 products or deliverables that the department had planned to deliver during that financial year. The department successfully achieved 194 products, so there was an overachievement in terms of the products that were planned for that financial year. for various reasons, really. And of course, a Q-on-Q, quarter-on-quarter, chairperson, members of the Security Committee. Performance was sort of affected by various factors, Q. But overall, for the year, 94 against the target of 184 with a budget spend of 98%. Shabir will talk to the budget later on after I'm done. Insofar as the annual report is concerned, the minister in his forward in the annual report, chairperson, members of SELECT, entered a context which referred largely to the fact that and recognized the fact that the Economic Development Department was now no more and will now would have been merged with the Department of Trade and Industry to form the now DTIC. And in that vein, chairperson, members of the committee, the minister emphasized the role of the Economic Development Department from 2009 when it was formed. And during that decade of its existence, EDD had some significant achievements which are highlighted in the forward of the minister in the annual performance plan. Some of those, chairperson, are the focus that the Economic Development Department during that decade was able to place on competition policy and specifically on public interest considerations. This focus, chair, members of SELECT, is now reflected in the work of the DTIC, in that there's now a branch of which I'm a member. There's a branch in the DTIC that focuses on competition policy and economic planning. Public interest considerations, as members are well aware, are a statutory area in which the minister may intervene in merger considerations, among other responsibilities that the minister has got from the Competition Act as amended. Further, also important achievements from the Economic Development Department as it was being wrapped up, Chair, was around the work that the Economic Development did with the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, the PICC, which as part of the larger macro organization of government, the PICC structures were removed from the Economic Development Department / DTIC and are now sitting with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and under the leadership of the minister there now. But this was work that was initially started by the DTIC, by the EDD, and now has been handed over to Public Works. Strengthened IDC's focus on jobs and the work that the IDC has done during the time of the Economic Development Department focused on among a whole range of activities that the IDC does, of course. The minister emphasizes the work that the IDC did in jobs, green energy, as well as tech industrialists. And clearly, chairperson, the IDC is also still housed in the DTIC under the branch headed by DDG Osman Lebo. Further, Deputy Minister mentioned the price preference system on export tax, which was the forerunner to the export tax, which has been approved. And now where we are with the PPS system, chairperson, is that it has been extended while systems are put in place at the South African Revenue Service and other departments to implement and monitor the export tax. So that was work that the Economic Development Department was involved in. Two pieces of legislation which the minister emphasizes in his forward, the Infrastructure Development Act, which mandated the formation and the function of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. So the IDA was the basis, is the legislative basis for the existence of the PICC. And then, of course, the Competition Amendment Act, which is a key piece of legislature which refers to and guides and the key part of competition policy and public considerations, as I mentioned earlier. And then finally on the slide, Chair, of course, a large chunk of the work of the Community Development Department chair members was around building strong capability to assist in the unblocking of investment projects. So Chair, I think before we move on from the slide, the key part of this slide really illustrates also the key work that was done by the Economic Development Department and the linkages that work now has built into the Department of Trade and Industry. So every piece of work that you see on this slide currently resides in the DTIC in various branches. So that work continues in various guises. On to the next slide, Chair. We focus on the KPI highlights. And the first highlight that we wanted to focus on was with regard to during the financial year under review, Chairperson, market inquiry reports were issued for data market inquiry. Of course, members will remember the data must fall movement, and that is essentially the work that was done around that in the data market inquiry. That is work that is continuing the DTIC, working very closely with the Department of DTPS, Telecommunications and Postal Services, amending, for instance, the Electronics Communication Act and all of that, and then also entering into agreements with your large telecoms players, Vodacom, and Celsius Telecom, with the finalization of the data market inquiry report, Chair. Given that we are reporting a significant number of months beyond the end of the financial year last, there has been work that has continued the Competition Commission to implement the findings. The grocery retail market inquiry is another significant one which was reported on in the financial year under reporting. And subsequent to that, Chairperson, work that has been done is being done in collaboration with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, COCTA. We're working very closely with them in terms of going into various provinces and implementing the findings of the grocery retail market inquiry, working as well closely with the Department of Small Business Development in terms of how do we better support Espaza shops to be able to compete efficiently, effectively in economic activity, Chairperson. So those are two market inquiries for the year under review, Chair, that were finalized and reported on. The next slide, Chairperson, takes us to implementation of the Competition Amendment Act. Critically, Chair, this is one of two pieces of legislation which anchored the Economic Development Department, the Infrastructure Development Act being the other. And in the year under review, Chairperson, sections of the Competition Amendment Act were promulgated and therefore were implemented. And various regulations, buyer power regulations and price discrimination regulations were issued and therefore allowing the Competition Commission to start work around the provisions that are provided for in the Competition Amendment Act. A key implementation of the Amendment Act is that last bullet slide on that slide, Chairperson, the COVID block exemptions, section 1010. COVID block exemptions, Chairperson, allowed for government to support the country by ensuring that various role players in the economy were able to interact and discuss during the pandemic without them falling foul to competition regulation, Chairperson. Illustration, Chairperson, the issue of being able to arrange and talk as competitors around a company without that being seen as collusive behavior was accommodated and was facilitated by the block exemptions. We the Competition Commission, obviously, Chair, worked very closely with the National Consumer Commission for that entity, Chairperson, and therefore those block exemptions coming as they did from the Competition Amendment Act were very timely, as it turned out. The next slide, Chairperson, in terms of the highlights for the financial year under review, refers to the PepsiCo and Pioneer merger. Obviously, Chair, a significant part of the work that the Economic Development Department did, Chairperson, related to competition issues, and we know that the minister has done a significant amount of work in terms of participating in strategic measures. You will recall, Chair, members will recall cases such as the AB InBev SAB merger, the Massmart Walmart merger, PepsiCo Pioneer is one other such measure during the financial year under review, where with the leadership, the guidance of our DGs, at the time it was DG Mondetom, DG Landlock Rover now, as well as minister, significant concessions were won in terms of the conditions among them no measure related to retrenchments for a period of 5 years, issues such as ensuring that the local supply chains are supported and expanded as appropriate, ensuring the inclusion of SMMEs in value chains. And this work, Chair, as I said, I mean, given that we're reporting significant months after the end of financial, continues through the monitoring of the implementation of these agreements. So the Competition Policy and Economic Planning branch of the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition does, among other tasks, does monitor the implementation of these agreements. There's about 35 or so agreements that we would monitor, and each one of them has got various conditions. So these are significant concessions. So issues such as the development fund, 600 million in this case, and ensuring that it is implemented. Members will also be aware that some of these conditions having been agreed on, in terms of making sure that they are enforced, takes quite a significant amount of collaboration across within the department, but also across departments. In the media, we had, you always have some announcements in terms of these measures and the implementations in terms of where they go from time to time. Check. The next slide, which is a bit of a repetition, Deputy Minister mentioned, it refers to the PPS extension and export tax. At the time of this annual report being completed, this was the status, Chairperson. ITEC had just finalized the investigation into introduction of export tax and had worked with National Treasury. We know that subsequent to that, that export tax went through. And now where we are is that the PPS has been extended to allow for systems to be put in place to allow for the implementation of the export tax. So that was that at that time, Chair. That was a collaborative effort. And then finally, Chair, I come to a last slide before I hand over to Sabir, which highlights really the IDC funding. That, and the point on this slide, really, Chairperson, is that although, and I think the third bullet point is critical here, although over the past 5 years, IDC had developed a strong track record in facilitating economic transformation with levels of funding as illustrated there. Although year-on-year investments had declined because of the economic situation that we found ourselves in the year under review. The work of the IDC, obviously, is when viewed in totality, is significant, Chairperson. The Deputy Minister also mentioned, as a parting shot in her introduction, Chairperson, a significant piece of work which she leads, incidentally, which is the development of a social and solidarity policy draft white paper, which has gone through the clusters and is now with the minister and is likely and shortly is going to come into the parliamentary process, portfolio committee and possibly select. And the IDC is playing a critical role in terms of supporting that. Members will be aware that in a country such as ours, where economic inclusion is a task that is still before us, we are looking at exploring policy interventions that allow for us to keep at including significant portions of our population that might not be in the mainstream economy as efficiently and as effectively as we would prefer that they would be. The Social and Solidarity Policy Draft White Paper, Chairperson, works towards that, and the IDC has been identified preliminarily as a key role player in terms of implementing that policy. So in terms of the highlights for the financial year, Chairperson, in closing, the Economic Development Department for the financial year under review, given the KPIs and the products that were targeted, managed to achieve and exceed them. And what I have just presented to the Select Committee Chairperson is a snippet of some of the key highlights for the financial year under review. Obviously, the Economic Development Department now is no longer exists, and the work that the Economic Development Department Chair members was tasked with has now been integrated into the current ETIC, and will continue in that light and be reported on going forward. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll hand over back to Shabir. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pulia. Chairperson, committee members, I'll take you through the financial report of economic development. For the financial year under review, the department spent 98% of their budget. As indicated already, the department received 18 audits And this was largely through the efforts that were put in place by the management team to ensure that the control environment remained effective. And it was also enhanced in certain instances, but also to indicate that all assurance providers, including Parliament and all oversight bodies, have demonstrated a high level of commitment in discharging their responsibilities. Going on to the next slide. Here we are presenting or demonstrating the expenditure against the appropriated budget. For the 1920 financial year, Economic Development Department received a budget of just under R1 billion. And of the money that was appropriated, 966 million rand was spent. And here we can see that a big portion of the budget was in Program 3, which was Investment, Competition and Trade. And it relates to the different areas which Molefe or Dr. Pule have talked about in the different areas like competition policy and the IDC as well. Thank you. Next slide. Here is the expenditure per economic classification. Here we can see that the biggest portion of the budget was transferred to entities, and here roughly 840 million rand was transferred to various entities like ITEC, the competition authorities, and the IDC, as well as CIFA. If you move on to the next slide, which was the transfers to the entities, here we can see the transfers to the various entities, but also to indicate that the transfers to the IDC included the Tirusano Fund, which is the fund that was put together for the construction industry, the Steel Fund, which provided support to the steel industry, as well as the PICC, which is the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Council, which has since been transferred to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. In terms of the audit outcomes, once again, you could see that overall there was a good audit outcome for the portfolio. There were clean audits for Competition Commission, ITEC, as well as the Competition Tribunal. IDC received an unqualified opinion with findings, and the findings related to a non-compliance finding, which was due to corrected material misstatements on the annual financial statement. Moving on to the next slide, which looks at the human resource management. Economic Development had a staff complement of 97 as at the financial year end. And these staff were employed on permanent basis as well as through fixed term contracts. The people with disabilities, the department has achieved the national target for this for people with disabilities of 2%. And here they achieved an overall achievement of 3% on with regard to this target. With regard to gender equity, the department has exceeded the target of 50% in the full and funded posts overall. And Economic Development also had a ratio of 54% in senior management as at the end of, as at 31st March 2020. This slide, So Chairperson, we've come to the end of the presentation. I trust that we are well within the hour. But the team is on hand to take any questions from the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khan and Dr. Pule for the presentation. At this stage, we allow honorable members then to ask questions. But the first point I just want to indicate is that we appreciate that there is a report, particularly with regard to the incentives to the provinces. But what we would appreciate is that if in each of the programs of the department, the 10 programs, perhaps except administration, just for indicate for members as to what each of those programs mean in terms of finding expression in the provinces. For instance, Program 2, International Trade and Economic Development. Instead of just summarizing everything around the SEZ, the incentives, the industrial parks, we would like to know as the committee, whilst you're reporting broadly on a program, the International Trade and Economic Development in terms of the country. But we want to know what does that program mean for each and every province in the country. Program 3, you've talked to Program 3, the special economic zones and economic transformation. Program 4, industrial development. You know, all these programs would be interested to know what is it that the department is doing, or what do these programs mean in the provinces. You know, I don't know if I'm understood clearly the point that I'm trying to make. Just to summarize around the issue of SEZ and industrial parks, and because these incentives are around the SEZs and the industrial parks. We don't know what international trade and economic development means. What sort of activities are taking place in the provinces as a result of this particular program? What activities are taking place as a result of Program 3, Program 4, Program 5, Program 6, Program 7, and Program 8? I know that, I don't know, because this is based on the 2019-2020 program, but I know you've got new programs, if I'm not mistaken, with regard to the last, when you were presenting the APP, there were 10 programs. It's just that they're not in front of me right now, so I don't know whether these programs are the old programs or the current interpreted programs. You'll respond to that when you respond to the question. Honorable members? Try to check. Honorable, Madia, can you help me if there are any members who have asked questions on the chat?
Mr. Mwemang has his hand up, Chair, and there's no questions in the chat.
Oh, okay. Honorable Mwemang, you can continue with the questions.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me start by first and foremost expressing my appreciation from the team led by the deputy minister and the presentation indeed was quite comprehensive, focusing on the year under review. I'm tempted, Chair, to start by making a reflection on the referral that the team made with regard to the departmental achievement, both in terms of performance and also in terms of spending. when you make a comparison between the 2018-19 and 2019-20, the expenditure in 2018-19 was 41 million, and the one under 2019 is 115 million. Probably it would be important just to get a sense in terms of the difference between the under expenditure, what could have led to that. the second one relates to the presentation around the industrial parks. The industrial parks, particularly around the revitalization, giving the emphasis on the industrial park to provide incubation and business development support, which definitely one would expect it to include support around market linkage facilitation, so that indeed this industrial park can attract support and sustain new firms. It will be important just to probably get a sense in terms of key areas around the provinces, because there is an expectation that given the district development model implementation in those 44 districts, there is an articulation in terms of where we are. Coming from Northern Cape, one will be expected to get a sense in terms of what is the status of the Kati Industrial Park, what is the support that the department is giving to the Northern Cape Metal Cluster. I think key to that is that the firms that are located in this industrial park, there is an expectation that it must be exposed to various government incentive schemes. So therefore, that elaboration will be quite important just to get a sense in terms of the several incentive schemes that the department has, amongst them manufacturing investment schemes, competitive investment schemes, service investment, industrial innovation investment schemes. Are we able to report progress with regard to those 44 a district? Key challenge of the department is to recognize that the implementation of this industrial strategy does not rely wholly and solely on the department, has the need for alignment with the other sister departments. One would be tempted to get an elaboration in terms of a trade facilitation, competition policy, and small business development with a view to ensure that there is facilitation of higher education, infrastructure development, and macroeconomic policy that has to be prioritized. So it would be important just to get a sense in terms of where we are. But I think more than that, the special economic zones has much more focus in terms of what we expect from it, particularly given our expectation that it should contribute significantly to gross domestic product and employment exports, and also attract foreign investment. So the issue is, given the point raised, around various reports that are that were issued by the minister. It's always important just to get a sense in terms of what those reports entail. Because under consumer and corporate regulations, a referral was made around the four progress reports on the development of companies amendment bill that was approved by the minister. It will be important to empower us in terms of the thrust of those four progress reports. And under the incentive development and administration, a point was made around the three programs that were achieved, because they had four targets and only three of them were achieved. It would be important just to get a sense in terms of elaboration under that, because it falls under incentive development and administration. And it says that only it was raised that it is the largest program of the DTI, because it accounts to 58.9% of the total budget allocation. And if this is the case, then there's an expectation that we get a sense in terms of, the target of 18 billion of projected investment that was raised. It will be important just to get a sense in terms of the target of 8,000 new jobs that was set. Did you manage to reach those targets? But other than that, I think what is quite critical is an elaboration on the 900 enterprise projects that were identified to be supported across all incentives, because one gets a sense that it was not achieved, because only 512 enterprises out of 900 that was set as a target was achieved. What could be the reason for that? The last point, Honorable Chair, relates to the issue of under expenditure that I started with. Maybe if you could just get a sense as to whether it is related to capacity in terms of the under expenditure and under performance. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mwema. Are there any other names, Ms. Wati? Are there any other hands?
Not that I can see. Can you just double check? No, Chair, not that I can see.
Okay.
There are no other hands, Chair. There's no messages on the chat either.
Okay. Can we then allow the department, the DDGs that are present to respond on the areas? Maybe start with you, Mr. Khan, and then you can then allocate those questions to the relevant DDGs.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I will start and the other DDGs will come in. I think your question around the work that the department does and how does it impact or contribute towards the provinces or have a provincial footprint. So, Chair, I'm going to start, and I think maybe as a way of introducing this, maybe just to indicate that you are correct. I think as we moved into the new Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, our work largely went into 10 different programs. And I'm going to maybe just start quickly with program two, which is our international trade division, which is trade policy negotiations and cooperation. And here, Chair, the work done in this program largely benefits the entire country, because here is where the trade agreements and trade negotiations with the rest of the world happens. And here how the impact is literally through these trade negotiations, it provides market access opportunities for many companies. And these trade agreements provide export opportunities for companies based in each province. And all provinces have export firms that benefit from access to export markets. And they also consume imports from foreign countries as well that go into their production processes. So these trade negotiations and these programs largely deal with this work. But linked to this program is the program on export development and promotion and outward investments. Here there's a clear linkage between the two programs, because once these negotiations are agreed, the program 7, which is export development, promotion and outward investment, come in. And then they take these many companies located in the different provinces and provide them with opportunities to promote their goods and services. Furthermore, to indicate that a key part of the work done in this program is around export development. And here a large number of smaller SMMEs are given opportunities to actually partake in these export development program. And if the committee would like, we can also provide them a detailed report on the companies that actually benefited from the program. If we go into spatial industrial development and economic transformation, here I think the report largely touched and captured the work done on the Special Economic Zones program and the industrial parks programs. With regard to industrial competitiveness and growth, here the work largely focused on the master plans. And here once again, whether it's the poultry industry or whether it's the sugar industry, the companies that benefited are largely those industries in those sectors. For example, the sugar industry master plan looked at the companies that were largely in KZN and in Mpumalanga, whilst the steel industries looked at the companies that were in Mpumalanga. But linked to this is the work done in the under Invest SA or Program 8, which is Inward Investment Attraction, Facilitation and Aftercare. And here, as you would note, that there were the key part of the work was also around the presidential investment drive, which was 1.3 billion rand. And here we have 152 investment projects located in all 9 provinces. And some examples include, for example, in the auto sector, Nissan and Ford, which is in Gauteng, Toyota in KZN, Mercedes-Benz and Isuzu in Eastern Cape. Some of the other companies that benefited in the other provinces were Nestle in Free State, Vedanta in Northern Cape, Anglo and Ivanhoe in Limpopo, TG Bison in Mpumalanga, and Amazon in Western Cape. So, Chair, so you can see there is quite a large, the department has quite a large footprint across the board. And I think the work that we do in the different areas largely aims to do that. When we look at the consumer and corporate regulations, here once again, the work done in this area, for example, looking at the consumer regulations and the awareness and training that happens in this area. So the team in this under this program has a number of consumer and outreach programs, which teaches and provides training to many of the rural areas in these provinces, so that they understand firsthand what these regulations and how these regulations impact them on a day-to-day basis. So here, a large part of the work also, besides developing regulations, but it also provides consumer awareness. Industrial finance, as we've already indicated, we've provided a report on some of the companies and some of the provinces that benefited from the incentive programs. Program 8, Program 7 I've touched on, Program 8 I've touched. Program 9 around the competition policies, and I think as Dr. Pule indicated, here once again, the whole aim of competition policy is to allow, first of all, to prevent any monopolies, but also to allow SMMEs opportunities in various parts of the country. So here, you know, once again, whether it's the grocery sector, whether it's the grocery inquiry or the data inquiry, these have an impact on the very consumers in across the board in across the country. So here, largely the work also focuses on having that footprint across the country. And lastly, Program 10, which is economic research and coordination led by the chief economist. Here, the work largely focuses on detailed research programs, which largely supports the work done in the other programs. So it's more about evidence-based decision-making. So Chair, on that one, I will ask my other colleagues if there is anything further to please come in as well. And then with regard to the questions from Honorable Moimang around the under expenditure, Chairperson, I think both DTI and the former DTI and former EGD, there was under expenditure. And largely, if you look at the DTI and also, as we've indicated in the annual report, the underspending was largely attributable to the global outbreak of COVID-19. And this had negatively impacted many areas of the business in the last quarter of that financial year. As we are already aware, the virus broke out in Asia around November, December that year. And this largely impacted a number of our export marketing initiatives, which had to be canceled in quarter four. Also, there were some delayed investment milestones by companies due to capital equipment that was ordered from abroad. And because of some of the travel restrictions, some of these investments did not take place as anticipated in the financial year. Yeah. There was also delays in the delivery of ICT equipment, which was ordered but not delivered in the financial year. Yeah. And lastly, a large portion of our program or our international footprint is having international offices in various embassies and missions across the globe. And here also, because of the travel restrictions imposed as a result of COVID, there was delays in the receipt of vouchers from some of these foreign offices. There was also there was an underspending on the compensation, and this was largely due to the DPSA directive that as we were merging the two departments, we should suspend the filling of posts and then look at, once we move into the new department, whether some of these posts were actually needed or warranted at that time. Lastly, there was also a delay in the listing of the BBBE Commission. And as we previously reported to the committee as well, it requires a legislative change to the Act, which will then enable them to be a separate listed public entity. With regard to economic development, the underspending is largely due to resignations from staff, as you would see the underspending on compensation. And also, when the sixth administration came into being, the minister was still on the economic development payroll, but the two new deputy ministers came onto the DTI payroll at the time, so there was an underspending on the EGD side. So largely the underspending, and maybe as the last point on economic development, there was also an underspending on the transfer to the IDC on the Tirusano Fund. And here once again, as you've seen, I think the construction industry has experienced problems. And here the agreement with the construction industry was that they had to pay these amounts into the National Revenue Fund before we could transfer the monies into the IDC. And because of the delays in some of these companies fulfilling their obligations, we couldn't then transfer the monies onwards to the IDC. So, Chairperson, with regard to the other questions from Honourable Moimang around the industrial parks, as we've indicated, the industrial parks program covers various phases. At the moment, we are busy with phase one, which largely look at the security infrastructure upgrades, fencing, lighting, and critical top structures and electrical requirements. But as we're moving now into phase two, which is compliance to regulatory requirements, such as landfill sites, waste and water treatment plants, fire, health and safety requirements, and renewable energy initiatives, some of these initiatives, which Honorable Moimang has indicated, will come into being. Phase three looks at engineering designs. Phase four looks at upgrading electrical infrastructure and building new top structures. And phase five looks at the development of vacant land. So as part of this broader program, and I think what we do agree is that there is an important program which that will come and look at the marketing and the promotion for these for the industrialists in those parks. But largely this work has already started, and because if you look at the Black Industrialist program, a large number of Black industrialists are already located in these parks, and the work done in this area largely was to ensure that whilst there is support from a financing point of view in terms of machinery and equipment, and there's also a link and an alignment between them and from a demand side to a large number of retailers. So the work done in program three has already started to look at this. Chair, if you don't mind, I could then ask maybe Mr. Sipho Zikode and Ms. Evelyn Musacha as well, Dr. Evelyn Musacha, to maybe come in, and also the other DDGs to please come in, and maybe they can provide you a bit more detail in terms of some of the work done in their areas, and also to maybe just elaborate on the progress report that we have submitted to the Minister. Thank you, Chair, and maybe I can hand over to some of my colleagues. Thanks.
Mr. Devoda, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning.
Good morning to the Honorable Committee members. I think our CFO has covered the issues substantially on our side, Chairperson. But just to add on the specific questions that you asked, starting with the Kato Industrial Parks in the Northern Cape. This industrial park, we haven't received any application from the municipality, you know, to our co-assistance with the revitalization program. As you know, Chairperson and Honorable Members, the industrial parks through the municipality or the local economic development agency, they apply for assistance and then the DTI will approve according to this criteria and all those things. So for Kato, they haven't done that. In fact, they have informed the DTI that they will want to apply for funding, but they won't be using it for the Kato Industrial Park. They will be using it for some other infrastructure-related programs in the municipality. So we are still waiting for that. But for your interest, Chairperson, the guys in Upington, the municipality there, they have applied for revitalization for the Upington Industrial Park. So for that one, and for phase one, like the CFO was explaining, the program is in phases of four of them. For phase one, we have received the application from the Upington Municipality. So we'll be looking at taken through the approval processes, and then they will know the outcome very soon. You also touched about the business development support and incubation and the market linkages. Chairperson, the DTI has established a program which is called the Digital Hubs Program. With this Digital Hubs Program, like the CFO explained, we are trying to make sure that all the industrial parks and SEZ each will have a digital hub, which will really be a way of linking the SEZ with the community, whereby the youth from that particular community around the SEZ or an industrial park, they will have an opportunity to go to the digital hub inside the park or the SEZ and be trained on the fourth industrial revolution technologies, and also be assisted with some small incubation program, and also be assisted with getting employment for those who want to be employed either inside the park or outside of the park. So there will also be, a labor services that will be provided by these digital hubs, where the youth will be linked with businesses that are looking for certain skills and expertise. And when it comes to the SEZ chapter, we are working hard to ensure that all the provinces, they have at least one SEZ. Obviously, the approval of an SEZ, a designation of an SEZ, depends on the economic imperative of the area that is applying. So we're working very hard with the provinces like the Northwest, Northern Cape, to establish SEZ there. If I could talk about Northwest, the Buchanala municipality and the local economic development department there, they have submitted an application for designation of the Buchanala industrial park to be turned into an SEZ. So we are working very close with them to ensure that the application meets all the criteria. And the one most important criteria is that the SEZ must show the potential pipeline of projects that will be coming in. So we are still working very hard to achieve that with the Buchanala people. And then in the Northern Cape, the guys at Achenes, we are working with them. They have the Denta, that big zinc mining company there, is going to be the anchor company for the Namakwa SEZ in that area. They will be developing a huge smelter, and that is going to attract other businesses, and those businesses will be located inside the Namakwa SEZ. So we are working with them in terms of ensuring that the EIA is done, and many other compliance issues are met. We are also working with the guys in the Eastern Cape, where they are applying now for the third SEZ in the Wild Coast area, Mkata region. And again, they have established a special purpose vehicle that will be looking at assisting the municipality and the local economic development agencies to put together the application for approval. And there are other, SEZ that are being proposed all over the area in South Africa. So you will get the reports just to expand on the presentation that has been made. So So, yes, I think, Honorable Chairperson, I will stop there. Maybe I will come in with further details as the members ask questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. DDG Masocha.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the honorable members. Good morning to colleagues. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for the questions that were asked by Honorable Mr. Mumei. In terms of the consumer and corporate regulation branch, we are responsible for legislation, regulations, and policies in different streams of the work that we do. I will just give a list of some of them just to give a broader context of what we look into. We look at issues around credit law and policy. So the National Credit Act is in this branch. Issues of consumer law and policy. So the Consumer Protection Act is also one of the legislation we administer. The liquor policy and law. So the Liquor Act will be another legislation. Commercial law and policy. The Companies Act will be one of those legislation. I'll just mention one more, the gambling law and policy, looking at the National Gambling Act. So we look at this legislation, we look at the policies, their reviews on an ongoing basis, and we work with many stakeholders from government, national, provincial, even at the local government, and we ensure that there's coordination in our work. We work with entities. So from a regulatory perspective, in this work, we work with entities like your National Consumer Commission, the National Credit Regulator, the CIPC. And so I'm going to talk to the education and awareness because it's one of the areas that was mentioned on the report. So with education and awareness, as the CFO has already indicated, and thank you, CFO, for your report. It was comprehensive and it covered most of the things that I was going to talk to anyway. But just to say that we look at rural areas. We educate the communities working closely with municipalities and provinces, provincial government, to coordinate these seminars and workshops where we go into a particular locality, mainly in rural areas, and we meet with communities, and then the team will go in there and then educate on these different areas. So there'll be someone speaking to credit law and policy, and then the entity will be with us at the same time. So they will speak to the enforcement and implementation of that legislation and policy. So if there are issues of implementation where the communities require some support, then the entity will assist. So we go there as a collective with the provinces and with the team, so they're responsible managers. So for example, in quarter one of 2019-20, we were in KZN, where areas like Sisuwe, Eshowe, Richmond in KZN were visited, where such sessions took place. And then in terms of the specific question on the report for the legislation, so when we look at the annual performance plan, there will be a list of legislation that we are developing or reviewing for a particular financial year. Obviously, the legislative process is a lengthy process, but then we will be giving ongoing progress report on the areas that we are working on during that particular period. So for instance, for the Companies Amendment Bill, when we were in the NEDLAC process, we will report on the substantial issues that are being discussed at NEDLAC. If there are consultations that took place outside along those lines in that process, the report will include that. It will be substantive issues. It will be issues of consultation. If there are legal opinions that we have sought around that area, we will also include the report. We'll talk to those legal opinions and other issues around the legalities of that legislation. And it will touch on problematic areas, for example, with certain provisions and concerns by constituencies. I'm referring to constituencies because of the NEDLAC process. And then in addition to this, we will look at other legislation. Since the area is looking at the branch is focusing on various laws, although the focus will be on the Companies Amendment Bill, we will also talk to the other legislation where there is progress and work. For instance, the Copyright Amendment Bill, the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, the National Credit Amendment Bill. So that report will include these other laws that are not necessarily maybe in the APP because of where they are in Parliament, but we'll talk to where they are in Parliament and the different processes that are ongoing, whether there was a parliamentary session or if, for instance, in the Copyright Amendment Bill, we had discussions with the US around the issue of fair use. The report will touch base on that. So the report will be comprehensive, talking to the main legislation in the APP, but it will also go into other legislation that are administered by the department and the branch. So, Chair, I will stop there in a nutshell to say that broadly in every quarter we'll have such reports talking to the work that is taking place either in Parliament with other stakeholders or with the particular legislation in the annual performance plan. In this particular instance, the main focus was on the Companies Amendment Bill at NEDLAC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Masoch. I think maybe we should, instead of going to each program, perhaps just focus on the questions that were asked. But what we want to highlight that we'll be meeting again with the department where you'll be tabling the annual performance plan for 2021-2022. But what we want to request is exactly what we were indicating, that the challenge with the committees of the NCOP is that we deal with a number of departments. Now, we are unable to invite you from time to time, unlike the NA. We are unable to come to invite you to say we will just have a meeting with you to come and report on trade policy negotiations and cooperation. And then some other stage, we invite you to come and present special industrial development and economic transformation, or each of these program individually, industrial competitiveness and growth, you know, and so forth. So the point, therefore, we are asking is that because the challenge is we have these two issues. One, we would like, because we're representing provinces, whilst we also have an interest on what is happening globally and domestically, as well as continentally, we appreciate all those aspects. But we want to know what each of the program mean for each of the provinces. So that's why we're suggesting that instead of just having a section that just deals with the SEZ and industrial parks, what you're doing on those, in those areas and the incentives. We like a situation where in each of the program, you specifically indicate what work you're doing in the provinces. For example, if you take, I'm just want to make an example about the APP that you tabled in May last. If you look at the trade policy negotiation and cooperation, it tells you the purpose of the program, the outcome, which is increase intra-Africa trade to support African regional development. The outputs, Africa Regional Development Program implemented, implementation of trade agreement and to facilitate market access and global rulemaking to enable policy space to support
and grow property sectors. What does that mean for the provinces? So we want you then to give us details. How do both provinces benefit from this particular program? So would therefore, as you present your APPs, that just give us also just more details, because I know the APPs and annual reports are basically high level reports. But because we don't have this opportunity that the Portfolio Committee on Trade has of inviting you from time to time to report on each of on details of each of these programs, we don't have that luxury. So that's why it's therefore important that as you report on annual reports or on APP table or APP, just give us more meat on each of those programs. More meat, what does it mean for the country as a whole? Some details. What does it mean for our provinces? For example, there's another program. I think it's program 3, if I'm not mistaken. On special industrial development and economic transformation. With regard to its output, it just says number of implementation reports on SEZ submitted to minister. Number of implementation reports on the industrial park submitted to minister. Number of implementation reports on the economic transformation submitted to minister. So it just talks about numbers. It doesn't give us details. What are the issues around the implementation of the SEZ? All that we leave the meeting with, we just know that there's this number of reports that have been submitted to the minister. That's all that as members will leave the meeting having that kind of information, which means nothing to us, because we want the details of what is contained in those reports that are submitted to the minister on the SEZ. What is contained in the reports of the industrial parks that are submitted to the minister? What is contained? So I'm not saying you go to town with regard, or you give the whole report. If it's a 100-page report, you come with the 100-page report. Now, that's what I'm not saying. Just the highlight of what are the issues with regard to each of the provinces, because we represent the provinces. But also on some of these areas where you have phases, for example, the industrial park, you're talking about phase one, phase two, phase. If also each phase could have a time frames. I think when you report in the next meeting, that you just tell us. I happen to have a constituent office in the area where there's a industrial park, Dimbaza Industrial Park in the Eastern Cape. I mean, this phase one in January last year, we invited the department as a constituent office. We wrote to the minister, somebody was sent to the province. We had a meeting with the Eastern Cape Development Corporation, the mayor of Buffalo City Metro, the Department of Economic Development here in the province, the HOD was there. So already in January 2020, phase one was completed. Now, 12 months later, we're only still talking about phase two, which has not yet been completed. And yet people in Dimbaza used to have jobs before 1994, but after the change, those companies left the area. But then the department or government then intervened and came up with this program of the industrial park, which mainly is trying to assist the former Bantustans for economic development or industrial development in those areas. But I mean, these people from these Bantustans have been waiting since 1994 so that they can have industries in their areas. Now, if we're going to have a long-term phases where you don't really see the actual companies coming into those areas, it's discouraging. So that's why when you report next, you must indicate to us the time frames of these particular industrial parks and also what incentives are there in those industrial parks. I raised this in the last meeting when you were tabling the APPs. Why should we have incentives in the SEZ? What incentive packages do you have for industrial parks? So I just wanted to I'm not saying you respond now, but I'm saying that in preparation for the APPs that you'll be tabling, I think around May, in terms of the program of the NCOP, you should be preparing yourself for this. At least I'm not saying that the I mean detailed, not necessarily final details reports, but there should be some details with regard to the work that you're doing. We will definitely from time to time invite you to come on a specific program, but what we think that general when you report on these APPs and the annual report, if you can just give us more details, take into account the fact that we won't be able as a NCOP committee from time to time to invite you to come and present specific programs. Yeah, so that's the point I wanted to. I don't know if members have any comments or questions.
Okay, if I may, Chair, there is a question from Mr. Apleni that he's asking to read out. The question says, you made mention, am I audible, Chair?
Yes, okay. You are audible.
The question says, you made mention of a sum of 3.2 billion rand allocated to Eastern Cape to EC economic zones. I'm assuming it's Eastern Cape special economic zones. That is a large amount. Looking at the current state of the so-called economic zones in the Eastern Cape, can you indicate as to when we can expect to see visible results of that allocation? Also, can you give us a breakdown of how these funds are going to be used? If the beneficiaries of such, or who are those beneficiaries, and what specific services are they providing? I'm not sure if the department got that.
Okay. Yeah. That is a question. But also, Honorable Apleni, if you check our program, the first term program, I'll ask maybe Mr. Bazia to send you the program. We will be inviting provinces, especially those they have SEZs and industrial parks, also to table their reports as to what is it that they're doing and the support that they are getting from the national departments with regard to the SEZ and the progress that they are making and some of the issues that you are raising. But I'll hand over to the department. I think Mr. Zikode, I'm not sure if this is your area, if you can come in, please.
Thank you, yes. Chairperson. A lot of money has been invested in the trust to SEZ Federal Development in South Africa. That is the Koha SEZ and the Port, East London SEZ. As you know, Chairperson and honourable members, that these SEZ started as industrial development zones under a different legislative regime. And then when we designed the new act that governs the SEZ, then they were converted into the special economic zones. So just to give honorable members some few figures, the Kuha SEZ so far, Chairperson, has 47 operational businesses that were supported by the DTI. So 47 investors are located there now, and the East London one has 32 investors. So these two, especially economic zones, they have the biggest numbers in terms of investors that have been located in the SEZ in South Africa, including obviously the Durban Trade Port in KZN. When it comes to the actual investment attracted in terms of numbers, Kuha SEZ so far has attracted about 11 billion rands worth of investment, and the East London SEZ has attracted 3.1 billion. Comes to the jobs, Kuha is 8,182 jobs created, direct jobs, and the East London one is 3,088. On top of that, Japan, they have a pipeline of investors that they are working on now with a view of establishing additional businesses. So Kuha, they are confident that about 20 additional investors will come into the that SEZ, and the East London SEZ, they are talking to about 17 new investors. So all in all, these investors, when they are on stream on the ground, they will have an additional 18 billion worth of investments into the area. So those are the numbers, Chairperson, concerning those two in the Eastern Cape. But like you said, Chairperson, maybe we will need to give you a report with the detailed information on the performance of all the SEZ and the industrial parks, just to give you more information on these two major programs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions, honorable members, or comments? Okay, doesn't seem like there are any other questions. But I think also on the incentives, perhaps there should be some explanation. I saw one slide that was that has all these incentives in the provinces. You see around a billion of these incentives. I think Gauteng and KZN have around 1 point something billion. And then Free State had 15 million. I mean, that gap, if perhaps there could also be explanation why some provinces are getting this big amount of money as an incentive, whilst others are only getting, especially these poor provinces. My view is that there should be bias towards the poor provinces, so that you don't see people moving to big provinces where there are opportunities. Because I think these incentives, the way they are being done, is very skewed. It favors provinces that are already better off, and hence now you're having this problem of migration from amongst the provinces. I don't know if there are any comments with regard to that, Mr. Scott.
Chairperson, my colleague Malebo is responsible for the incentives.
Oh, okay. Ms. Malebo.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members. Actually, good afternoon now. Chair, this is an issue we've been battling with for a while. We are seeing a bit of.
If you don't have a challenge with your network, if you can also switch on your camera, please, Ms. Mole. I should have said the same with Mr. Zigodi. Unless you have a challenge with your network.
Chair, I'm going to try, but the last time the audio was a bit terrible with the video. Okay. So, Chair,
you are muted now, Ms. Malev. If you can switch on your audio. You are muted. You are still muted. You are still muted, Ms. Malev.
I got it. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
So it's a problem we've been battling with for a while. Some parts of it are getting better. In terms of the uptake from the Northern Cape and the Free State. The way that it works is that we will put guidelines out to industries, to companies, for them to then make applications. So those guidelines would say, for you to receive support, these are the kind of things that you should have in place. And these are the kind of outcomes you'd be looking for any investment that you're going to make. And from a state point of view, we will then put the things that are important to achieve the national development agenda, be it jobs, where we would say the investment must create jobs, be it local content that they must be procuring domestically, and various other requirements that respond to national priorities. And then we will adjudicate the applications as we receive them from the different provinces. So we never really go out and say, this is for Gauteng, this is for this, and this is for this. What we have done on an annual basis is then partner with the with the different provinces, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, where we know that we've got a problem with uptake, to try and work with the provincial economic development departments to help us with identifying the companies and to also influence in a way their work program, so that they can start developing enterprises that would then be ready for the type of support programs that we are offering. So the map itself always looks terrible on its own, but over time, if we had to look at it for the last 5 years, for example, you would see that there is a progression, and that progression is just a reflection of industrial capability that is already there in the province. It's something that is very close to our hearts. We've started now work, including with the Eastern Cape government, to introduce the government to some of the important work we are doing in areas where we see there's no investment coming. For example, in the global business services, and we've prioritized the areas like the Eastern is London and some of the other tier, what is called tier two cities, to see how we can support there. We are rolling out that same engagement with Limpopo, with Mpumalanga, as on the other side, we are trying to get CEOs of these companies coming from abroad and those that are already in South Africa to locate in those cities, so that it helps economic development. You're absolutely right that the way that the map shows, it's like it reinforces this requirement for migration. And I care we are onto it. And I would also request the members, where possible, their assistance in pushing the economic development departments in the provinces, so that some of our meetings actually become much they tend to more fruitful outcomes than just continuous engagements. And Chair, I just want to go back to that issue of SEZs that was raised, just to put members at ease that any time we support an SEZ, we support it on the basis of an investment project that they have attracted. So the monies that you see there are the monies reflective of investments that are already in the pipeline. So there won't be any white elephants that are built. And the fact that you see those allocations there, it actually shows you where the investment interest from investors is at. And we are now responding to that by building the top structures and the infrastructure that is required. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Maleba. Thank you for the responses. Are there any other comments, members, before we give Mr. Khan the closing remarks? Okay, if not, Mr. Khan, can you round up and give us your closing remarks as the leader of the delegation?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. From the DTIC team, I think thanks to you and to the committee for the leadership. I think we've demonstrated that we were able to successfully merge into the new DTIC. And I think we look forward to the positive engagements. I think the comments that you and the members have made, I think it's welcomed, and we will definitely, as we move forward and as part of your oversight, we will definitely provide you that detail. And lastly, from the DTIC team chair, we'd like to wish you a speedy recovery, and we hope to see you and the rest of the members in at the next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Khan and the DDGs and the other senior officials and the PLO, Tulu and Saroj, thank you very much. And also to everybody who attended the meeting, the PMG, media, and all honorable members present, thank you very much. Thank you to the department. The report was very comprehensive. We really appreciate the report, and also commend and congratulate you for the clean audit that you've achieved. We will then again be meeting from time to time. We'll be inviting the provinces, and also we'll be expecting you as a department to be present when we invite those provinces that have to do with the economic development. But also, as I indicated, we'll be meeting again when you're tabling your annual performance plan. Thank you very much. Before we close, we honorable members, we're having another meeting at 2. Just want, my dear, just to indicate, explain whether we should be logging out or and wait for that meeting, or we should log out and then log in again at 2, or there will be another link for the 2 o'clock meeting. Ms. Mati?
Thank you, Chairperson. There will not be another link. In fact, members can log out and then log in again, and we will just readmit members as they come back from half past one. We have also been informed that the Minister for Employment and Labour will be joining us for the first hour, but he has another meeting at 3 o'clock. So the Minister will be joining us from 2 until 3.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, the DTIC and everybody else. The meeting is at 10. Members, see you at half past one. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks.
Thank you.